ॐ सहनावतु सहनौ भुनक्तु सह वीर्यं करवावहै तेजस्विनावधीतमस्तु मा विद्विषावहै। ॐ शान्ति शान्ति शान्तिः। ॐ समस्तजनकल्याणे निरतं करुणामयं नमामि चिन्मयं देवं सद्गुरुं ब्रह्मवेत्वरं सद्गुरुं ब्रह्मवेत्वरम्। ॐ पार्थाय प्रतिबोधितां भगवता नारायणेन स्वयं व्यासेन ग्रथितां पुराणमुनीनां मध्ये महाभारतम् अद्वैतीम् अष्टादशाध्यायनी अम्ब त्वामनुसन्दधामि भगवद्गीते भवद्वेषिणीम् यं ब्रह्मा वरुणेन्द्ररुद्रमरुतः स्तुन्वन्ति दिव्यैस्तवैः वेदैः साङ्गपदक्रमोपनिषदैः गायन्ति यं सामगाः ध्यानावस्थिततद्गतेन मनसा पश्यन्ति यं योगिनः यस्यान्तं न विदुत्सुरासुरगणाः देवाय तस्मै नमः देवाय तस्मै नमः। ॐ श्री गणेशाय नमः। ॐ श्री सरस्वत्यै नमः। ॐ श्री गुरुभ्यो नमः। हरि ओम्। इन् दिस् 13th चाप्टर् we are almost to the end. We have one more class next Sunday. Then we'll end the 13th chapter, which talks about Kshetra, Kshetrajna, the field and the knower of the field, Prakriti and Purusha, the matter and the spirit, and Jnanam and Neyam. Jnanam here is the values to be practiced, and Neyam is the Paramatma, the Brahman, the Ishvara, the consciousness. So after describing the field, Bhagavan Sri Krishna tells us about who this Kshetrajna is, that is the Lord's presence within us, which as long as the field is there, there is a knower of the field, which we call as Purusha, identified with Prakriti. But when there is no field, then that Kshetrajna becomes near alone, becomes knowledge alone. As long as the field is there, there is a knower of the field. But in reality, the field is an appearance. And so one has to understand that that one consciousness, which we call Brahman, plays both the roles, plays the role of Prakriti as matter creates the whole universe, and then itself enters to become the knower. And the world can only be created when Prakriti and Purush are combined, that is matter and spirit. Matter has to be there, and then the spirit has to enliven it, give it life. And that is how you and I come into being, because this body that we see is matter. This mind and intellect is also inert matter. If consciousness was not reflecting in this subtle body, then such a person is said to be dead, said to be gone. And it is only by the presence of consciousness reflecting in the mind and intellect, which is called Chidabhasa, or reflection of consciousness, that the individual is able to walk, talk, and so on. So Bhagwan tells us the difference between Prakriti and Purush. All actions are performed by Prakriti, and the Purusha is the non-doer, which we'll talk about in a little more detail today. And one who knows the distinction between Prakriti and Purusha, such a person comes to me, Bhagwan says, and then no longer goes through cycle of birth and death. So the purpose of studying the 13th chapter is to realize the difference between Prakriti, matter, and Purusha, spirit. What is inert and what is enlivening, and shift your focus from the inert to the one that is alive, that is the enlivening factor. And the more we identify with the enlivening factor, the more we go beyond the joys and sorrows of Prakriti, of this matter, because this matter is destructible. That's what we last week also we had studied, that it is vinashyatsu or vinashyantam. If you identify with the destructible matter, that I am this body, then the body will perish, body will have pain. If you say I am the mind will have joys and sorrows. If you say I am the intellect will have success and failure. But if you say I am, my true nature is Atman, the consciousness, and this body, mind, and intellect are my equipment, then even when the body, mind, and intellect are going down or suffering, such an individual does not identify with the suffering, but is able to watch his body going through changes, mind going through ups and downs, intellect going through success and failure. So that is what Bhagavan says, yav pasyati sa pasyati. So that is, pasyati means not seeing, but pasyati means understanding. So the true understanding of spirituality, especially of the 13th chapter, is to clearly distinguish between Prakriti and Purusha. What is declining, what is not. What is temporary, what is permanent. And when you identify with the permanent, then the temporary does not bother. I know these ideas are repeated many times, and even today the shlokas are on this, and we'll see why Bhagwan keeps on repeating these ideas. So today we'll start with shloka number 29. Samam pasyan hi sarvatra.
Samam pasyan hi sarvatra.
Samavasthitam ishwaram.
Samavasthitam ishwaram.
Nahi nasti atmanatmanam.
Nahi nasti atmanat. Nahi nasti atmanatmanam.
Tato yati param gatim.
Tato yanti param gatim.
Samam pasyan hi sarvatra. Samavasthitam ishwaram. Nahi nastyatmanatmanam. Tato yati param gatim. So again, the word samam is used by Bhagwan. Samam means the same. Same, we'll talk about the same. We have talked last week also. But the same, pasyanhi. Pasyan means seeing in the present, constantly seeing. He indeed. So he wants to emphasize this point that there is a permanent and there is a temporary. And always be aware of that. Pasyanhi sarvatra. Everywhere. One God, one Brahman, one consciousness is everywhere. Samavasthitam. In all these, it is firmly stationed. In all these beings, there is one God. Even though we have different forms, we have Sri Krishna and Ram and Lakshmiji and Lord Shiva and so on, but there is actually in reality only one Brahman consciousness that takes various forms and becomes the creator, sustainer, and destroyer. So samavasthitam, in all these beings, everywhere, one consciousness is Ishwaram, is present and knows it very clearly. One who knows this, what does happen to such an individual, one who knows and one who has understood this message? Na hinasti, does not destroy Atmana Atmanam, does not destroy his Atma, does not destroy his self by the self. But I thought you said Atma cannot be destroyed, it is immutable. Why does Bhagavan say that? We'll talk about that. So he says, such a person does not destroy his self, his Atma, by himself. How can I destroy myself? How can I kill myself? That we'll understand. And then, having understood this, seeing the one God everywhere, tataha, then what happens? Yati param gatim. He goes to the, yati means goes, param means highest, gatim means the goal. So he reaches the highest goal, he or she, whoever sees one God stationed in all and nothing else except that. And that is very important, that nothing else is there except that. Such a person reaches the highest goal. So these, all of these shlokas in the 13th chapter need some explanation. So the word samam, why does Bhagavan say samam, which is the same? Because this Brahman or consciousness is the same in all. It is the same in animal, bird, plant, fish, human, even stones, rocks, rivers, trees. Everywhere that consciousness is same. It is not that it is more in humans, less in animals and absent in stone. Or in a Mahatma it is more and in a sinner it is less. No, it is the same. Not only that, but it does not fluctuate. It's not that sometimes God increases, sometimes decreases. People say, you know, population is increasing and maybe each one of us has a little bit of God in it. Maybe God is getting less. No, God will not get less. Or if the population of humans increases, is God growing? No, God is Brahman, the consciousness is the same, samam. And that is called in human beings as Atma. Atma, which we mentioned, is indestructible, constant. And what is this world that where this Atma or consciousness is? This world is this world of matter, world of perceptions. Whatever I see, hear, smell, taste, touch with my senses, what I feel with my mind, the emotions, the thoughts I think with my intellect, and all the whatever has been created, either by us, you know, as computers, homes, or what has been created by nature, mountains, earth, plants, trees, and using those elements, using the metals and all the earth and all, we have created this world. And majority of the people only care about this world. And that also only me, my, and my family limit ourselves. But that is the world of the materialist. Materialist means one who thinks that this material alone is important. This material alone is something I should indulge in. And we don't pay attention to this Atma, the consciousness. And such a person is said to suffer the consequences and destroy his Atma. So what do we mean by destroy the Atma? The Atma is eternal. So there are many meanings given for this. What do we mean by hinasti? Atmana Atmanam, destroys the self by the self. So one meaning is that there is the higher self and the lower self. The higher self is the intellect guided by right ideas, right thoughts, by the message of the Bhagavad Gita, the Upanishads. The lower self is my mind and my lower tendencies. The mind tends to go towards objects, wanting this, wanting that. Now, if this mind is under the control of the higher, then such a mind will go upwards. It's like Gurudev gives in this, in his commentary, that you have a car and you are supposed to control the car, right? I am supposed to decide how the car should go where. But suppose the car decides to take itself off, suddenly the brakes fail and you're going down the hill and you have no control over the car. Or I was reading, I'm sure you all read, that now in these self-driving Tesla cars, you can actually play computer games. You can download games, and while the car is driving itself, these guys are playing games. And then you don't know where the car will go. So the law is that even if you are in a self-driving car, the driver should always be alert and pay attention to where the car is going. So similarly, if I don't pay attention to where my mind is taking me, you know, my mind is going towards pleasures, you know, let's have fun, majaka ro khao piyo. My sense organs want to enjoy life. Not that one should not enjoy or have, but then that should not become the main goal. I should have discrimination and live a life of moderation. Yes, you have enjoyment, have fun, but keep it in limit. And then once you have done whatever, then bring your attention back to the higher, to the self, the consciousness. And that's what he says, Atmaiva Atmano Banduhu Atmaiva Ripur Atmanaha. Bhagavan Sri Krishna says in the sixth chapter that you yourself become your own enemy and you yourself become your own friend. How can I become my own friend? When the mind is under the control of the intellect and is doing the right thing. And how does the intellect get guided? By the scriptures. By reading Bhagavad Gita, by listening to the teachings of the message from Swamiji's and Acharyas. When the intellect is guided by the right knowledge and then tells the mind that this is what is the right thing to do, our mind says, "Theek hai, you know, ye to bolte rehte hain. You know, these swamis, that is their job, that is their living. They just keep telling us, ye don't do this, don't do that, don't have fun. Khao piyo maja karo, baad mein we'll see some other time." So when the mind does not listen to the higher and goes downward, like that car that is not under the control of the driver can have an accident. So similarly, an individual who does not let his wisdom decide what he has to do goes downward. Another meaning of destroying the self, which we are also doing in Ishavasya Upanishad on Tuesday, we do it, have a class at 12:30. He says, Atmahanta, they destroy themselves. How do we destroy the Atma? You cannot destroy the Atma, which is eternal, which is permanent. But when you ignore it, we all essentially are divine. We all essentially have God within us. But when we ignore God and neglect it and then turn our attention to the world and have no time for God, you know, take a 5 minutes, I quickly do it, and rest of the time I am just busy, then that is called destroying the self. Because I'm not paying attention, even though it's like a beggar, you might have heard the story, he used to sit on a wooden box. For years and years and years, he was sitting on that box and begging for money. And somebody would give him a quarter or, you know, chavanni in India or a 1 rupee note or something. And he would be happy. And then at the end of the day, he collected maybe 20, 30, 40 rupees. And he used to go home and, you know, live. And then next morning, again, he'll come sit on that wooden box, put a little blanket and a bag. And then it so happened one, you know, he got old and died. And then people said, "What is this box that he was sitting on all the time? Where did he get it?" They said, "We don't know. It was here. He just found it and he made it his own." So they cracked open that box. It was a wood, and they found there were hundreds of gold coins. So this man was sitting on a treasure of gold coins, begging the world for happiness. So you and I are sitting in this treasure of divinity that is my true nature, and we are begging for happiness from the world. So that's what they say. When you identify that I am anatma, I am not the atma, I am this body, mind and consciousness, then you are neglecting, you are not applying that. There was a very famous saint called Ram Kinkarni, Maharashtrian. Kinkarni, or probably Konkani, you know, from that part of the Western India. And he was about, say, 60, 65 years old. And people would come and bow down to him and say, Maharaj, you know, bless us and so on. And he would. And then once somebody asked him, how old are you, Maharaj? I don't know why he asked him. And he was about 65. He said, well, I am about 25 or 30 years old. They said, what? You don't look 25 or 30. You look older. He says, no, I'm only 25 or 30. He said, Maharaj, why are you saying that? He said, out of my 65 years, how many days I remembered Bhagwan? That alone I lived. So I can tell you that half my life I did not. So if his age was 30, imagine what is our age. We might be 5 or 10 years old. How many days have we spent in remembering Bhagavan? Not only remembering does not only mean in the morning, just 5 minutes, but remembering him throughout the day, doing Bhagavan's work, serving Bhagavan, you know, at singing bhajans or listening to some good bhajans, listening to some stotras, chanting, meditation, reading the Bhagavad Gita. So if we have not done that, then our life is wasted. So what we have to do, that every day I should spend some time in remembering God, praying, meditating, reading, serving, you know, giving back to society as an instrument of God, as a servant of God, like a pen, as I think I had spoken maybe in the Tuesday class, just as a pen writes, but pen itself has no independent, whatever the owner of the pen writes, that is what the pen writes. So similarly, you and I should have no independent will. Bhagwan is writing through me. So that's why Mahatma say, lekhani ban jao, lekhak mat bano. What it means is become a pen, don't become a writer. Don't say I am writing, Bhagwan is writing through me. That is called true living, otherwise it's a waste of life. Kabir Das Ji also says, Beet gaye dinu bhajan bina. If you have not done bhajan today, bhajan does not only mean singing, but doing God's work, then that is a wasted day. That is a waste. So every day one should do some spiritual activity. Then only you are truly living. Otherwise, you are destroying the self within, which means you are not appreciating, you're not enjoying it, your own divinity, you are ignoring it. And what we do is we look for appreciation from the world. You know, oh, is this person appreciating? I did so much. And this person didn't even say thank you. I helped him so much. And what did he do in return? Or what did she do? No, I'm not looking for. If you look at these Mahatmas, they don't look for appreciation from the world. They said, as long as my God is happy. And how do we know he's happy? Because we know from within the right actions that I'm doing that makes me happy and makes God happy. So they are all together. They are one. But if I do something that makes me happy, but I know that it's not right, then that is called doing for the world and not for Bhagwan. So that's why they say, look for appreciation from within God's presence. And that is called the right action. And that is called highest. Otherwise, you are looking for happiness in the world, looking for, the world to give us joy. And that's why he says, tato yati param gatim. He reaches the highest goal in life, and that is me. And then he realizes that I am not this samsari, I am a samsari. I am beyond this world, I am the Atma. Another meaning of destruction, which I was reading, this teacher says that we have collected so many weapons that we can destroy the earth 100 times and still have weapons left over. But we don't stop manufacturing. They say we spend $5 million every minute on making arms, $5 million, and about $10 billion a day. And if all that money and all the scientists and scholars and experts are making arms, more and more arms to kill people, and then the one Russia makes some arm, and then America tries to make better, and then China competes. This crazy cycle is going on. And if all that effort and all those brilliant scientists and all that money was spent in removing poverty, how much better the world would be? We would have no hunger. We would have no poverty. We would have no misery. So that is called destroying the self by self. And what is going to happen is some crazy terrorist is going to get hold of a nuclear weapon. It's already spreading from Pakistan to Iran and to, you know, Korea. North Korea has it, you know, that crazy fellow, Iran. And if once some terrorist group gets it and they just explode, a nuclear bomb will create a nuclear war and the whole earth will be destroyed. So we have to divert our attentions from war to peace. And how do they maintain peace? I should have more power than him, so he won't attack me. So this whole thinking, negative thinking, has to be changed. And I have to work towards betterment. And that is called seeing the oneness. And that will continue in the next shloka, verse number 30. Today, the three shlokas are somewhat repetitive because this idea is very, very important. So Bhagwan wants to make sure that we get this very clearly. But I'm trying to give different examples and stories to make this point clear. So verse number 30. Prakrityaiva cha karmani.
Prakrityaiva cha karmani.
Kriyamanani sarvashah.
Kriyamanani sarvashah.
Yah pashyati tathatmanam.
Yah pashyati tathatmanam.
Akartaram sa pashyati.
Akartaram sa pashyati.
So, prakriti, or together, can you please? Prakarmani kriyamanani sarvashah yah pashyati tathatmanam akartaram sa pashyati. So prakritya, by prakriti alone, this is the third case. Eva prakriti, by prakriti alone, it's the passive voice. Cha karmani. Karmani means actions. By prakriti alone, these actions, kriyamanani, are performed sarvashah, everywhere. All actions, anything that is active, is done by prakriti. Prakriti means the body, mind, intellect, the vasanas, that is performing all actions. And yav pashyati, and one who sees this, that prakriti alone is performing. Prakriti means the world of matter. So as we said, matter and spirit. So world of matter is whatever I can see. This whole universe, plants, animals, sky, space, even heaven, hell, they are all considered as prakriti. And the consciousness is different. So one who sees that prakriti is doing all the actions, prakriti is the creative power of the Lord, we also call it as nature. And that is performing all actions. Yav pashyati. Pashyati here does not mean only see. Pashyati means one who knows that prakriti alone is performing all actions. Tatha. And atmanam. Atmanam means the consciousness within. That is consciousness that is within and everywhere. Consciousness is not limited just to. Even this whole prakriti is actually a manifestation of that consciousness. But for understanding, Bhagwan has divided Prakriti and Purusha, matter and spirit, which is the Sankhyan philosophy, to understand that there is this destructible world of matter and then there is this indestructible consciousness. But akartaram, non-doer, sapashyati, he alone knows. So what they are saying is that this body, mind and intellect are doing actions, but the consciousness inside is inactive. You say, well, you say the whole world was created. Yes, the whole world was created by the power of Maya. But in reality, the world is an illusion upon that Atma, the consciousness, and that Atma alone is real. But when we say akartaram, what it means is Bhagwan has created this world and body and all the animals, birds, plants, fish, all work according to their instincts. You know, plants know which way to grow upwards. Fish knows how to swim. Even like nobody teaches the fish swimming. Nobody tell, mother doesn't tell the baby fish, come on, let's go to a swimming class. You know, in YMCA, they're teaching you how to swim. No, soon as the fish is born, it learns how to swim. The birds, of course, teach their young how to fly, but then they can also fly very quickly. But animals work according to their instinct, lion, deer, you know, all work. But the humans are the ones that have the ability to think. And in us, the consciousness gives us life, but itself does not do anything. That is why they said it is akartaram. That means God does not interfere in our daily activities. The example Gurudev has written in his commentaries, like the gasoline in the car, the petrol in the car. Now the petrol provides the energy for the car, but where you take the car, does the gasoline decide? No, I can drive the car to a temple, you know, or I can drive the car to a homeless shelter and feed the homeless. Or I can take the same car and go to a bar and, you know, get drunk and, you know, maybe hit somebody drunk driving. Or I can take it maybe to a place where I can rob a bank. Even bank robbers use cars. So the gasoline is the same, whether I'm going to the temple or whether I'm going to the bar or whether I'm going to the service or to harm somebody. The gasoline does not take the blame or the praise. Gasoline does not say, oh, I'm so great because I took my owner to a temple. No, gasoline said, I gave the energy. The owner decided he wants to go to the temple, or the owner has decided he's going to go and commit a robbery. So gasoline doesn't feel bad. Oh, you know, I took the owner. No, gasoline said, I gave the energy to the car. Now, where the owner drives it, it's his choice or her choice. So similarly, Bhagwan says, for humans, I have given you the ability to walk, talk, and think. I have given you this equipment. What you do with this equipment is your choice. What do I do with my body? What do I do with my mind, with my intellect? What do I do with my time? You know, everybody has Sunday morning, but am I sitting here and listening to Bhagavad Gita or going somewhere else? That is my choice. That is the choice we can make. So that's what they're saying, that the gasoline does not decide. So same way Bhagwan says, for humans, I don't make any decisions. I give them life. What they choose to do with their life is their choice. But I have made the law of karma with which you bear the consequences of your actions. But why are we not able to see this consciousness within? Because we have put on a mask called BMI. This body, mind, and intellect is a mask that is obscuring the consciousness within us. So each one of us, that's why I don't see the consciousness in you. You don't see the consciousness in me, because we are, all of us are wearing the mask of the BMI, the body, mind, and intellect. There was a very famous book called The Man with the Iron Mask. It was made into a movie where this man always walked around with an iron mask and he kept his identity hidden. And later on, they found out that he was the king's twin brother and he wanted to capture the king. put him in jail because the king was evil and this guy was a good guy. And he was trying to hide because the king wanted him killed. And so he was wearing this iron mask so nobody can find him. But the king ultimately found him according to this book and put him in jail for 40 years. So the point is, you and I are also wearing this mask of BMI. God is in you and God is in me, but we don't see the divinity in each other because this mask of the BMI, the body, mind, and intellect, is covering the divinity within us. So I don't see divinity in myself and I don't see divinity in others. So that's what they say. One God is everywhere, and that we have to see. But that remains a secret. That's why Bhagwan, the ninth chapter, he calls it the royal secret, where I am not able to see. So Bhagwan says, I will tell you this royal secret. Does not mean that it should be kept secret. Means even after we are told, we don't know it. So it remains a secret. Talking about secrets, so this man was quite old and he's telling his friend, you know, what is the secret of my long life? He says, what is the secret of your long life, Bob? Bob says, the secret of my life, a long life, is I eat garlic every day. So his friend says, Bob, that is not a secret. Trust me. We know you eat garlic every day. So, so similarly, this knowledge remains secret for us because we don't experience that and we keep it hidden. And why? Because our attention is not on it. Our attention is on the world. Whatever you are, that's why they say that the Creator made the sense organs to look outside, and the sense organs look outside, do not look within. The Upanishad says that. That this the Creator made the sense organs to look outside. So pashyati na within. They look only outside for joy, and that is the problem. So what we have to constantly remember, that we are a mixture of Purush and Prakriti. We are a mixture of matter and consciousness. And that's what even in the earlier shloka, Bhagwan said, Yavat sanjayate kinchit sattvam sthavara jangaram jangamam kshetra kshetrajna samyogat tad vidhi bharatarshava. O Arjuna, please remember that you are a combination of Prakriti and Purush, but pay more attention to the Purush and less attention to Prakriti. Ya pasyati sa pasyati. That is what is true knowledge. And how did this Prakriti come? We have heard in Tattva Bodha in the sixth, on the Thursday class, a panchikrita pancha mahabhuta. So there were these unmanifest mahabhutas, and then when they combined, they make air, space, fire, water, earth. The visible matter is made by panchikarnam that we have studied in Tattva Bodha. So problems all belong to Prakriti. Any problem I am having, if I say I am having a problem, that doesn't belong to me. It belongs to Prakriti, belongs to this body, belongs to this mind and intellect. And take care of the problem, but understand that problems are coming because of prarabdha, because of my previous karmas. These problems are coming, and take care of them and cheerfully bear them, because there is no reason to complain, because I am not this body. Constantly remind ourselves that I am not this body. I am the consciousness. And the grihastha ashram that we have been given is for us to grow. You know, the student life, we are studying for first 25 years. Then we get married, have children, and, you know, take care of them. That is grihastha ashram. And the purpose of that is to learn and to do service for karma yoga. And then as we cross 50, and then we gradually withdraw from the world and go towards sannyas. So that is the purpose of grihastha ashram, is to bring up children and educate and earn, you know, whatever. But after that, vanaprastha, slowly I withdraw from this world and go towards sannyas. So, but what people do, they remain all the time in grihastha ashram. If I'm not taking care of my children, then I'm taking care of my grandchildren. Not that there's anything wrong, but all the time spending time in just children, grandchildren is a waste. So yeah, when they need help, you help the children, but whatever spare time we have, use that time for vanaprastha and sannyas. So withdraw the mind's attention slowly from the world towards God. And that is the essence of this particular shloka, that consciousness is the non-doer and the doer is prakriti. And all actions are happening because of prakriti, because of prarabdha, because of the previous destiny. So verse number 31.
Yada bhuta prithak bhavam.
Yada bhuta prithak bhavam.
Ekasthamanupashyati.
Ekasthamanupashyati.
Tata evacha vistaram.
Tata evacha vistaram.
Brahma sampadyate tada.
Brahma sampadyate tada.
Together.
Yada bhuta prithak bhavam ekasthamanupashyati tata evacha vistaram brahma sampadyate tada.
So yada and tada. Bhagavan always says when and then, or yatha and tatha, just as and in the same way. Throughout the Bhagavad Gita, he will say, when this happens, then that will happen. So here he says, yada. Yada means when bhuta prithak bhavam, in all this variety of beings, ekastham, one consciousness alone, he sees, anupashyati. Anu means constantly sees. One meaning of anu is constantly. Another one is after he has been instructed. One is that in the Gita class, I see it very clearly. But once I go out and I start functioning in the world, I forget that I am of the nature of consciousness. And I start working as this body, mind, and intellect. Other one is that after having studied, then he clearly knows, or she clearly knows, that there is one God who is there in all beings. And how is this variety come? Tata evacha vistaram. Tata means fifth case. From that alone, all this vistaram, all this spread has come. And once he understands that, brahma sampadyate tada, then he becomes one with Brahman. Sampadyate means he reaches that. See, the example Gurudev gives is like atoms. You know, everything is made of atoms. But one, these atoms itself become molecules, become the whole world. Or another example is ocean. Ocean alone becomes all the waves and the currents and the, you know, whirlpool and everything. Either I think I am a wave or I think I am water. If I think I am water, then the waves will come and go. But actually there is no birth and no death. So what do I identify that with it? And it says samyak, and very clearly it should be samyak jnanam. And then we have a choice whether to pick the good or the bad, the right or the wrong, the evil or the... There's a beautiful story of Dhundukari. Some of you may have heard that, where there was this man who goes to of Mahatma and says, Mahatma ji, I don't have a child. Can you bless me? So Mahatma closes his eyes and thinks, and he says, in your destiny, there is no child. So don't even think about having a child. He said, oh, you know, life will be a waste. I don't have a child. He says, take sannyas. Your life will be good as a sannyasi. He said, no, no, no. Sannyas is very dry. I want a child. Okay, the Mahatma meditates and picks a fruit from the tree and blesses it and gives it. And he says, okay, go give this to your wife and you will have a good child. So he says, okay. So he takes it home and tells his wife to eat it. Wife says, Mahatma ne diya, I don't know what it is. I don't want it. So she, her sister is there. She says, you want it? You take it. So she gives it to the sister and herself doesn't eat. And they both get pregnant, the sister and her, in the next few months. And the sister has eaten that fruit blessed by the Mahatma. And she has a beautiful child, very nice. They give the name Gokarna, very kind, very compassionate, very loving, beautiful child. And this wife, this man's name was Atma, the wife's name was Dunduli. And his son, they named Dundukari. That was the name given. And Dundukari was like that. He was evil and he used to beat, as he grew up, he will beat his parents. He will not listen to them. He will waste money, never study. On the other hand, Gokarna, whose mother had eaten the fruit given by the Mahatma, turned out to be a beautiful young man. And this guy was a criminal, out and out horrible. And he was so bad that his father got depressed. He said, you know, I didn't listen to the Mahatma. And so he took sannyas, you know, as the Mahatma had told him, he put on orange clothes, left the world. And his wife, the mother, got so tired of the son beating her all the time that she jumped in the well and committed suicide. Now Dundukari was happy, said there's nobody to tell me anything. So, and they had a lot of money. Atmadev was very rich. So then he took all the money and started spending it and using for all bad things and made bad friends and so on. And it is said, finally, there were five girls living in his house. That's how bad he was. And then they saw that he has so much money. So one night they all got together and killed him. And they said, we'll take all the money. And so they killed him and took all his gold and jewelry and everything. Now this Dundukari, because he had committed so many evil deeds, he could not get moksha. Not only he could not get moksha, he just became a ghost. He became a spirit and he was wandering in the here in the air above, and he could not go to heaven, hell, nowhere, and he was just stuck there. He was very miserable and he was sorrowful for what he has done. And on the other hand, the other cousin, Gokarna, was very bright, and one day he was meditating, Gokarna, and he hears a voice and he says, is that you, brother? Dundukari says, yeah, it's me. So he said, I thought you were dead. He says, yeah, I'm dead, but I am a ghost and I can't go anywhere. I can't even go up, you know. So he says, okay, I'll do your shraddh. He does the shraddh and still he can't go. So he says, even that has not helped. I am still a ghost and I still want you to do something for me. So he says, okay, I'll do Bhagavat Saptah. So he does Bhagavat for 1 week and he puts a bamboo, and the ghost comes and lives in that bamboo. And the bamboo has 7 knots, you know, K-N-O-T-S knots, like the bamboo has. So each day of Bhagavad Saptah, 1 knot is broken and 2nd knot is broken, 3rd. And by the 7th day, the whole bamboo explodes. And this Dundukari is freed because he has listened to Bhagavad Saptah, you know, very sincerely for a whole week. And it is said a chariot came from heaven, you know, from Bhagavan Vishnu with all this golden, and it took Dundukari back up to. He said, just by listening to Bhagavat, he was taken up, and all the other people, there were, you know, about 100 people who were invited. And he said, how come we didn't go, and how is it that this fellow went? So the message came that he listened with Vairagya. He had no other goal except Bhagwan, when he was listening and he was contemplating. So he says, don't only listen, but contemplate, think about it. And so he was listening with faith. He knew that this Bhagavad Saptah will free me from this bondage of this ghostly body. So that is what they say, that we have a choice. We want to live our life like Dundukari or live like Gokarna. Of course, we don't have so much extremes. But the point is that the more your life is spiritual, the better it will be. So that, and one has to understand that ekastham, one alone has become, because that is sat, that is existence, and that alone supports everything. One consciousness, one sat has become this whole universe. You know, whatever is sat and chit, you know, Sat means existence, Chit means knowledge, and infinite. That infinite consciousness has become this and supports everything. Everything is supported by that. So this understanding one should imbibe every day, just as we take vitamins every day, right? If you go to people's houses, you find bottles of vitamins and CoQ10 and alpha lipoic acid and vitamin. So same way, you know, morning, evening, you know, as faithfully we take our vitamins. So same way, this vitamin of spirituality, do that every day, sit and contemplate upon it, just as by thinking about this, that person became liberated, even though all the karmas he had done. So similarly, constant abidance in this knowledge will help us. You see, I cannot sit and meditate. I cannot sit and pray. I cannot sit and think. I like to work. I am a very active person. They say, okay, if you are active, then do karma yoga. Make your life a life of service. And then you will understand that this one God alone, Vistaram, has become all. And that is my nature too. Just as everything, just as all water comes from the ocean, even when it becomes rain, it is from the ocean. Then from the rain, it, you know, it falls down into the river, and then river merges back. So just as from, even Swamiji told us yesterday that from one ocean we have all come. And then ultimately the goal of life is to merge back into that ocean. So similarly, all of us have come from that Paramatma, that one alone. And that is our true nature. That is our true home. So understand that, and understand that God and I are not separate. I and that consciousness are one. And why Bhagavan is saying Anu? Because constantly remember that, having heard it from Bhagavan and from Pooja Gurudev, from their commentaries, constantly remind yourself, abide in that truth, and remember, I am not a person. I am not a man or a woman. I am not a human or a, I am that consciousness, and that alone I am. And that should be the focus of meditation. People say, what do we meditate on? They say, when you sit down, quieten your mind, observe your breath, and then turn your attention to who I am really. Chidananda Rupaha, Shivoham, Shivoham. Shankaracharya ji says, I am not the body, I am not the mind, I am not the intellect, but I am that consciousness. And then you see everything as God. That is what these Mahatmas are able to do that. Why? Because everything came from God, just as all ornaments, because they have come from gold, they are gold. Whether it's necklace or bangle or ring or, you know, anything, they are all, nature is gold. So similarly, everything has come from God. Everything is divine. So see that divinity in all, love all, respect all. So that is called understanding. That is called knowledge. And such an individual, Brahma Sampadyate, he becomes one with me. That's what Bhagavan says. So if you want to become one with Bhagavan, serve him, know him, and love him. So all those three, you do that, then you will reach that highest state of oneness with this duality. And then such a person, it's not that the Mahatma doesn't work. He will work, but he will work for God. He also will need to get up in the morning, take a shower, eat breakfast, you know, do all his daily activities. But he does them, or she does them, as service of God, constantly remembering God and keeping God in their vision. So these three shlokas have the pretty much the same idea, but the point is that it has to be hammered so that we don't forget it. And all these different examples that these Mahatmas have given us are to remind us that pay attention to your source, to your origin, where you have come from, and never forget that. So that is the essence of these three shlokas, that there is Prakriti, which is matter, and there is Purusha, the spirit together. I am a combination of both, but my true nature is Atman, the spirit, the consciousness, and I use Prakriti for whatever. So again and again, you know, we are trying to remind us, the Bhagwan is trying to remind us, and then we are trying to remind each other that that is my true nature, that is where I belong, and that is what I should do. So I'll end here. We have some time. If anybody would like to add anything or ask questions. Kusum, anything you would like to add?
No, you said it so beautifully, and Gurudev's commentary is really excellent. But I was just thinking that today you made such an impact that this human life is so precious, given to us to achieve the great goals. One of the goals is to self-realize. So when we don't see that great goal, we kind of committing spiritually a suicide, we are killing ourselves, which the 29th sloka said that self-killing the self. So we are actually spiritually killing ourselves if we don't recognize this knowledge and achieve that in this lifetime. So he says, when we do not see the great truth in all and only see them as mortal individuals, everybody, we insult God really, because we are not recognizing him. Also, when we look upon ourselves as mere finite individuals, we degrade ourselves, because we are so divine, but we're looking at the matter and spirit, though it is also the same. One who sees the infinite knower in himself and in all, he sees the, you know, right thing. That is the sapashyati, sapashyati, who understands that this infinite is me inside, outside, everywhere, and me is non-doer. It's the Prakriti who is doer. So the and that person, divine vision, he loves all, serves all, he works, yet he knows that matter is working. I am not working. I'm the non-doer, which means that divine self is non-doer. And so he's unaffected by all these that is you mentioned. Anything comes, any good things, bad things, you're unaffected because it belongs to the matter, not to the divine self. So I think your lecture was very, very impactful today. Thank you.
Thank you. Anything else? Satish Bhai, you'd like to add something?
No, I think both of you really summarized it well, and I think it's very impactful. We just have to keep thinking over and over and over again that we are the consciousness. We are not BMI. And, you know, I think in theory, we do understand to a large extent. It's just that to imbibe into that is where we have to work on. Thank you.
Thank you. Yeah, that's true. So theoretically, we understand, but put it into practice. I think we'll end. So we'll have, as I said, anybody else has any comments, questions, any points they would like to?
No, but what I was saying is, like Satish Bhai said, that intellectually we understand, but practicing is where we have to put our effort in.
I think the end of the last paragraph of each of these slokas are so beautifully done by Gurudev. And that also will help us how to put our self-efforts.
Right. Yeah, so if you don't have this book, please get it. If you have it, please read it. Don't just leave it on the shelf. Read this commentary, because Gurudev, the way he explains, you know, definitely I don't feel capable of doing that. So please read it. And then also the what that will do is make these ideas pakka in our mind. We will understand them. So that's why it's good. Thank you very much. We can do the aarti now.
Na tantra suryo bhati na chandra tarakam nema vityuto bhati kruto yamagniya tameva bhantmanu bhati sarvam tasya bhasa sarvamidam vibhati. आरति श्री चिन्मय सद्गुरु की दिव्य रूप मूर आरती करुणा की आरती सद्गुरु की शरणों में उनके शांति समाए शरणागत की भ्रांति मिटाए पाप ताप संताप हरण की आरती श्री चिन्मय सद्गुरु की आरती सद्गुरु की वेद उपनिषद गीता को गाया धर्म सनातन फिर से जगाया शुद्ध नीति प्रीति शंकर की आरती श्री चिन्मय सद्गुरु की आरती सद्गुरु की सिद्धि बाड़ी की तपोभूमि में नित्य विराजे गुरु हमारे भक्त हृदय आनंद श्रोत की आरती श्री चिन्मय सद्गुरु की आरती सद्गुरु की आरती सद्गुरु की
बोलिए श्री कृष्ण चंद्र भगवान की जय श्री सद्गुरुनाथ महाराज की जय एवरीबॉडी कैन प्लीज टेक द आरती काये न वाचा मनसेन्द्रियेव
बुद्ध्यात्मना वा प्रकृति स्वभाव करामि यत् सकलं परस्मे नारायणेति समर्पयामि नारायणेति समर्पयामि असतो मा सतगमय तमसो मा ज्योतिगमय मृत्यु मा अमृतगमय ओम शांति शांति शांति